Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. A very happy new year to everyone, our first update of the year. So we thought it might be fun to walk through some of what the coming year holds for us as a Sangha. So exploring a little bit more about the theme, training to live in this year now, and then talking about some of the elements that are available to us to support ourselves in doing just that. So I'm going to walk us through a little bit more about the theme and also about some of the opportunities, again, as I say, to support that theme. So in the daily recollection, which for people who have been with us on retreat know, it's a recitation that we say at the first meditation of every morning, the first meditation that we do of the day. And in that recitation, periodically throughout, we say the line, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. And it comes at significant places in the recitation. So, for example, at the end of each section, at the end of reciting the Four Noble Truths, at the end of reciting the Eightfold Path, we say that line, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. And I was looking at that today, and I read this fascinating thing that someone in the Sangha had written somewhere that he saw a study that was done on happiness. And, you know, we all think, well, okay, so they're going to study people who are happy, and what will they find? Oh, they have tons of money, and they, you know, live in beautiful places and all of those things. But, of course, that isn't what they find. And one of the really interesting things that stood out to me that he was saying is that in the study, they found one of the factors that was common in a lot of people who report being happy in their lives is that they had an active leadership role in their religious community. And he was saying that it wasn't necessarily you're a priest or you're a monk or that sort of thing, but more what it was pointing at is actively participating. And as I look at that line, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself, and how significant it is in that daily recollection, in that recitation, it's pointing at what it feels like our practice embodies, which is that this is not an, you know, we're not reading, it's not an intellectual thing. This is an actual practice of training to be how we want to be, of training in our lives. And I just had a recent experience of that for myself, where I had a karmic storm just kind of blew through, and I was really looking at how in that, the conditioned response is to run away from it, to distract in some way to get away from it, but that the life response is to train, and that the training in just the simple forms of training our attention to be here, to be in this here now, creates this unbelievable transformation where in the moment before, there's identification and life is terrible and gloomy or whatever the particular identification is. But then in that moment of being willing to train and to really stay there, we see through it. And I had this image drop in of, you know, so let's say we're an elite athlete in a sport like tennis, for example, and we encounter a worthy opponent, you know, someone who's going to really challenge us. And, of course, if the response is, oh, no, you know, this is terrible, I got to run away, we know what the result's going to be. But instead, if what we do is we use it as an opportunity to train, you know, we get on the court, we keep our eye on the ball, it suddenly turns it into a win-win. So instead of, oh, I'm afraid of losing, you know, and this person's going to beat me, instead we train, and no matter what happens in the outcome, whether I, quote, lose or I, quote, win, we're moving towards mastery. And, you know, mastery not being the same as winning, right? Conditioning wants to put everything in a dualistic right, wrong, good, bad. But in training, we're turning our attention away from winning or losing and turning it towards mastery. And so I know for myself, I'm really excited about this theme and about deepening our training in that way, really particularly what's the how of practice? You know, how do we live this here now? And we've had a number of extraordinary years leading up to this, and it feels like where we are as a Sangha now is being invited into moment by moment by moment practice. You know, not just on retreat sometimes, not just here and there, not just on the weekends when I'm not at work, but moment by moment, how do I train? And, you know, it doesn't mean everything always goes our way or we always get what we want, but that's not even the point. You know, it's like being on the court with someone who, quote, beats me. But if I'm training with it, then I'm the beneficiary. I'm the one who's walking towards mastery. So on January 18th, we're going to have the kickoff event. So it's the video event that we do annually. We've been doing it, I think this might be our fourth year, certainly our third, either third or fourth. And that's available to everyone at no cost. There is a charge to the organization. We do have to pay to stream it, and we love doing that. It's really, really important to us to offer that foundational piece, to have as many folks in the Sangha as can participate in that. So do hop online and sign up. And if you do sign up, attend, because as I say, we do have to pay for your spot in terms of how many people are going to stream into that. But that's a really fabulous way to come together as a whole Sangha. There's a way to participate. We have email participation during, right, live during the event, so it's a really great way to come together with everyone and kick off the year together. And then there are several other components throughout that year-long retreat theme, including an email class in February that's going to really get us jump-started with that. And then we have some fun additions this year, which are we have some recording and listening intensives, which are going to be periods of time where we look at particular aspects of recording and listening together as a Sangha, and also some practice intensive where we're going to look at particular content areas of life. So practicing in this here now and looking at practicing in this here now with particular area content areas in life that come up. And there'll be lots more about, I'm just kind of giving an overview now, but we'll have a lot more information on the details of how all of that's going to work and how you can participate and how to sign up for it and all of that as it arises. But one of the opportunities that I really want to underline is that there are three retreats, the same retreat actually, offered in three places with Sherry and Ashwini. And this is a brand new retreat. It's on the same theme, in this way I do most deeply vow to train myself. And for people who have been on a retreat that Sherry and Ashwini have facilitated, you know what an extraordinary experience it is. And it really, it's an amazing combination of the gift that Ashwini brings to creating curriculum. So Ashwini does a lot of the email class curriculum, a lot of the new retreats that have come out in the last several years. She's the mastermind behind putting those together. And the poetry of them, I mean literally the poetry, there's often a poem, say, in the email classes, but the poetry of the way the entire retreat is put together or a particular class is put together or an exercise or an imagery is just it's an amazing gift that she brings to the entire Sangha. And then, of course, for people who, well, you know, because you're listening to the radio show, so you hear Sherry facilitate, but the mastery that Sherry brings to practice and the great kindness and compassion and clarity and humor that she brings to retreat, I really highly encourage people to look into participating in that retreat. And that is going to be offered in three locations, at the monastery, in North Carolina, and in Pennsylvania. And the dates for all of that are on our website. And actually, the dates for everything that I'm running through right now are on our website. And then, of course, there are the other opportunities that we're continuing to offer that are all really great supports for training. Reflective listening buddies that I believe, actually, I should have looked that up before I got on. Maybe Michael will have the information. But I'm pretty sure, well, we may have just started a quarter, actually. We may have just started a quarter, but that's all right. You can jump in the next time, and I'm sure we'll have a good news update highlighting that soon before the next quarter is available to sign up for. And then coaching. You know, I mean, coaching is a beautiful match for training. If you really want to train in anything, sport or a skill, what's the first thing you do? You get a personal trainer. And so getting a coach for this year around training to live in this here now would be an extraordinary gift to you. And there are also a number of group coaching opportunities through the year where you come together with a group of people. So there's still that accountability piece, which I think is one of the great gifts of the coaching, is that, you know, when you set out to train, of course, we all want to. We want to do it. But what's going to assist you in staying on track with it and actually following through with what the heart wants to do is to have that accountability piece. And so the individual coaching is great for that, but also the group coaching, which has the added element of not only do you get that accountability, but you also get to hear what a number of other people are seeing about their own practice around the particular topic that the group coaching is around. And again, we will put out word. Those things are on the, some of them are on the schedule, and then others of them, as they become available, when the group coaching sessions are scheduled, we'll put word out for that. And then, of course, the Stop, Drop, and Text program. So getting to have someone 3 times a day. I mean, I think that's probably the most consistent practice there is in terms of all day, every day, or at least 6 days a week, really getting to stop and check in. And, in terms of training to be this here now, that's a really extraordinary practice, is getting to stop several times a day and really look at what's going on and be able to text and get a response back from your facilitator. So I really encourage folks to go to the website and check out the schedule, because it's all up there. And as I say, I'm sure as we go through the year, we'll be continuing to talk about each of these more particularly in detail. But for now, the big one is hop online and please join us January 18th. We're hoping that lots and lots of people will be there. So, Michael, I realized I actually thought it would be hard to fill 10 minutes, but it turns out it wasn't. I had a few things I didn't get to. But I know we have a whole hour of training ahead of us, so I want to turn it over to you. And as I do that, if you would bring Sherry live.
Sure.
Because I understand that she has a very fun, exciting topic that she's interested in looking at for this coming year, and I think wants to invite the Sangha into looking at that as well.
Great. She's live now.
Oh,
hey, you two.
Hey.
Hi.
So, Jen, hi, Michael. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Jen, you just did something that I did, and I trained you in this way, so
oh, no.
You can hold me responsible for it, that new retreat won't be at the monastery. It'll be at Vallombrosa Center in Menlo Park.
Oh, okay. I looked on the schedule and I thought it had changed venue, so thank you for correcting that. Okay.
Now, of course, I could have old information, but I'm pretty sure.
Will tell us.
Yeah, somebody will tell us. For anybody who has been there on retreat, of course, we just were, right? We were all just there for the New Year's retreat, which was fabulous. And it's a little chilly to be on retreat in the end of December and the 1st of January, but I think that we're going to be there in July, which should be just one of the most spectacularly beautiful locations anybody could ever hope to be in
in
July.
Because if you want to know why Menlo Park and the surrounding areas are overpopulated, go there in July and you'll find out. It's just perfect weather.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see. We'll find out. Somebody will tell Michael. Michael will tell us. But
okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And thank you for that, Jen. That was really beautifully done.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, I truly am excited about the theme. It's just exactly where we are and what we need, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the piece of it that I'm fired up about right now. I've said this a couple of times that I've started a business venture. And the reason that I've started it is because I have an ambition to 25 years later, go full circle and have a Zen center back in the Bay Area, preferably Mountain View, just because I like the symmetry of that. And so I began this project. And what I have learned since starting it has confirmed for me what I want my focus to be for 2015. And what I mean by that is what I want to invite people into exploring. And it takes a couple of directions that are one thing, but they show up in a couple of different ways. One is our relationship with money and our relationship with money and spirituality. And the other is something that I have heard, of course, for the last 35 years that I've been doing this. What is spiritual and what isn't spiritual?
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, I've had people comments that drinking a diet soda is certainly not spiritual. People are very quick to tell me when I'm doing something that isn't Buddhist. I'm always amazed by the clarity that people seem to have about that, sure, that I don't have. And so, of course, you know, my point is going to be no surprise. In a non-dualistic, non-separate reality, you can't divide things into this is and this isn't. So that's going to be the bottom line. And I want to explore that through this notion that seems so pervasive, that somehow being poor is spiritual, mm, and having things is greedy, and is not spiritual. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have these things, these expressions like, it's not what, it's how. So I want to spend at least the first part of 2015, and maybe it'll carry on through, exploring that with people. Because this is what I've noticed. And you kind of alluded to this, Jen, in what you were talking about. So people come on retreat, and, you know, we have the structure and we have the guidelines and all of that, and we're working along, we're training. And then people leap, and they go back to their lives, and this is the bottom line reason I want to do this. Mm-hmm. There is nothing protecting people from karmic conditioning.
Oh, that is
beautifully put. It's just sliding back into the familiar, into the beliefs and assumptions, having life controlled by those beliefs and assumptions, and no ability to come up against them except what the person brings to it. And, of course, it's not uncommon for people to be so terrified of what's going to happen to them if they set off that storm inside their head, that storm of self-hatred, that it's very understandable to want to just put your head down and do the best you can not to set off the voices. And so I would like those who are ready to put that behind them. So I guess it was 2013, we stopped feeling bad, I think it was.
Yep.
And we did it as a Sangha. We were successful in that. And I want to put these things to rest in 2015. I want us to be very clear that spiritual and non-spiritual is not something that we need to look to conditioned mind to determine, that not having has nothing to do with spiritual, mm-hmm, having has nothing to do with spiritual, mm-hmm, that all of these artificial distinctions and designations are just that, they're artificial.
Yeah.
And I want us to explore them and get down to the bottom of them so that we can put them behind us and get on to living fully the life that life has for us to live.
Wow. I can just feel those words moving through me as you're saying it. I mean, I have like five big points I want to make about them, but I won't because I'm sure Michael has a huge screen of callers. So that is really exciting, Siri.
Okay, well, great. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a series of blogs coming up, so I hope people will watch for those.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to sort of frame them as a workshop, not just, you know, me spouting off about this stuff, but some opportunities for people to look inside and see what goes on. And then we're going to devote some of the open air programs to an exploration of what people are seeing around the topic. So, and there might be other ways that we approach it, but for right now, that's what we've come up with.
I love it. Okay, I'm just going to choose one really short one, which is that one of the greatest gifts I find in life is the ability to be generous. And mm-hmm. So the not having, well, of course the ego doesn't want that because you're not supposed to have.
Oh.
But in that process of having, it's the keeping, the hoarding that creates the suffering. But in that movement of just resources moving all around and having and giving and offering and being able to be generous, that's so much fun.
Yeah, it is so much fun. And, of course, again, I'll refer to this later, but as a dear friend and teacher of ours noted, there seems to be in the spiritual community an idea that we're all going to be poor until we're all rich.
Right.
And that puts us, of course, in a position to look down on and despise people who have, and to be in a position not to make the kind of difference that we could make in the world if we weren't devoted to being downwardly mobile. So, you know, if our Sangha weren't generous, all those people over in Cantalomba wouldn't be eating and going to work each day and having roofs on their houses and sending kids to school and all that. That couldn't happen, except that we have resources that pass through us, that pass through our hands in the way that you just laid out.
Yeah.
And so with those resources, we can do the things that are meaningful to us in the world. And that's a big part of the conversation that I hope we're having this year.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Michael!
You can mute me now, Michael. You better.
Okay.
Quick, mute her.
This is great.
Thanks,
I know she has 3 or 4 more comments, and I look forward to hearing them in the future.
In weeks to come.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
have a great show.
Thank you,
Jen.
Good night.
Okay, I think it's time for me to say good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Mm-hmm.
And that was exciting, Sherry. I look forward to reading more and learning more, and I have some announcements here.
All right.
Okay. Get started on supporting your practice in 2015. Guidance Day is January 10th. Receive guidance about whatever is most important in your practice.
Mm. That's coming right up, isn't it?
Yes, it is, this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of support, daily support, a new quarter of Stop, Drop, and Text is open for registration. Don't let the voices talk you out of daily support. And the way to receive this daily support via text is available on a first-come, first-served basis, so register today.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jen mentioned, the free video conferencing kickoff is on January 18th. Come together with Worldwide Sangha. The event is free, but we do ask everyone to register, as Jen was talking about.
Yeah, and register and show up. Right?
Register and show up.
Because there are only so many places, and as she said, it costs us quite a little chunk of change to be able to pull this off.
Yes, I see.
Mm-hmm.
So visit livingcompassion.org/schedule. For more information on these and other events. And that's a new web address, so I'm going to say that again, livingcompassion.org/schedule.
Mm. Mm.
And a couple of reminders. Did you have something, Sherry?
No, I was just grateful that you underlined that like that. That was good. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. To make guest show, to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So the queue has gotten longer. Okay.
Here we go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jenny from New Mexico.
Well, hello, Jenny. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. What's going on?
Let's see. Well, I guess after I catch my breath here.
Right. it's always a little tricky to be first, isn't it?
Yeah. Like unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. What have I been doing in practice? Well, quite a lot, actually. I guess it was just right after all the holidays, I went into like a downward spiral kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's been a challenge. And I went back to I kept getting like the idea that like practice wasn't really working, and I was still sitting, and I worked all year, but that message was like, it keeps like coming up, like especially.
Yes, like, gosh, Gosh, I wonder where that's coming from.
Especially last semester and stuff. But I felt so discouraged, and then I broke into, like, one of my old patterns after the holidays, and it was basically just, like, I started, like, daydreaming again, and it hit me, like, really hard. It was like, it's like backwards meditating or something. And,
yeah.
like, I, you know, like, lost awareness, and I mean, I'm still trying to, like, get back on track and sitting. It was only a few days, but.
Okay, first
yeah.
of all, congratulate her for picking up the whatever and getting on this radio show.
Okay.
Right? Because that's huge, isn't it? That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the person who did that, and I'm guessing it's the person I'm talking to, but we can't be sure.
Right,
yeah, that there's your ally. There's your support. That's the one that's on your side. So if you were, you know, if you were in an exercise program, and I'm your, I don't know who I am. I'm your best friend, your coach, your whatever, and you kind of hit a down time. You know, you're not feeling that good and feel like you're losing momentum and. Maybe you put on a few pounds and that sort of thing. Now, as your best friend or your coach, what I don't say is, wow, this exercise thing really isn't working, is it? You know, well, why don't you just quit?
Right.
Yeah. So if I did that, you would, I hope, look at me and know that, in fact, there's been a body snatchers moment. Your best friend has been taken over by the devil. And you really need not to listen to this advice, because this is really bad advice.
Right.
Yeah. But when the voice is inside the head and that campaign starts, we have a habit, a long-established habit of listening to it and believing it. And so, in a transition, because you named it perfectly right in the beginning, the holidays are over, huge transition. Right, you're trying to recover from the holidays and all the hype and excitement and celebration and misery of that, and get back into regular life, the rhythm of regular life. In that transition, I wonder how many people were just dragged down into that undertow and are flailing around down there on the bottom of the water.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, I had all this good intention to, you know, start studying for next semester and get everything ready for next semester.
Yep.
And I had like all this great intentions and stuff. And then there was just almost like a confusion between, like, well, holidays aren't over yet. And, you know, all this stuff. And then this is a pattern that I've had in the past. And she used to do this when she was a child, when things got rough and stuff. And so, like, it's just like a way of ignoring the world and everything that's going on. And it may have been this massive list of things to do as well that kind of just like, no way, and went and hid. So, but the pattern before was very, very abusive when I've lost, like, consciousness and that level of, like, being, like, closer to the heart and stuff, and I feel that, like, get pulled away when I daydream, and so it kind of hurts inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to beat myself up.
No, you used to be beaten up.
I used to be beaten up, yes, right.
Yeah, because you weren't doing it. You were the one being dragged under.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And the difference this time, actually, that I didn't go into self-hate this time. So the practice that I had done actually did help, and I recorded everything this time, which has never been done before. I recorded how it happened, how I felt. I recorded the pattern. I recorded the after effects. I recorded, you know, like, what the story was and stuff, which is still going on. Like, it mainly happens now when I wake up Like, there's been dreams and stuff, and the story's, like, mm-hmm. planted itself there. Like, it always
yep.
feels like they throughout the night, ego's done,
yep.
like, this stage play, and
yeah.
I wake
oh,
up
yeah.
to it.
Yes, it's exactly like that. You can trust your perception. That's exactly what's going on. And so here are the two things that I would encourage.
Okay.
One is to start the recordings about how she came through this, how she didn't give up, how
okay.
she kept practicing, how practice is in fact working, how
okay.
she got on this call, how she reached out to Sangha.
Okay,
all of those kinds of what a practice hero sorts of recordings, and listen to those a lot.
Okay.
Okay, because it's not true that it's not working, and that's what needs to be recorded. It's not true
okay.
that it's not working. It is working. It's absolutely working.
Right.
Yeah, and then some recordings about, so now you've made it through this. And there was no self-hate and no beatings. Big success. Congratulations. And now how do you want to go forward? What's important to you? And you just turn your attention away from all of that. You know, thank everybody who got you through it and who practiced and that sort of thing. And then you turn your attention to, okay, what am I choosing for my life right now?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's where the focus needs to be. Make yourself
right.
a morning recording.
Yeah.
Good morning. Here we are. All right. Who is this? Well, I'm the kind of person who, and this is what I'm focusing on for my life. This is what brings me back to my heart. This is what I'm grateful for. This is what I love. This is what I'm excited about for the day. Okay. And you get yourself here. Shut out that plot that they set up.
The performance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That conditioning is set up over. Because, again, how many people wake up, we're conditioned to check in, how do I feel, check in, and what you get is the aftermath of those awful dream states.
Yeah,
We're conditioning, yep, conditioning is just going on, and we assume, oh, God, I feel awful, I can't, and then the conversation starts, and conditioning comes in, and the person is just in misery.
Overwhelmed,
so we wanna
right? Yeah, like you're believing in all this. Like,
that's right.
And
so
sometimes it like wakes me up to like.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
To perform
and so,
this thing.
So have that recorder right there, right?
Yeah.
You reach for it and turn it on and give it all of your attention.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And then you'll let us know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you
all
very
right.
much.
All right.
Very much
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. All right.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. You're listening to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Stefania.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm also very surprised. I'm very good, thank you.
All right. But what should we talk about?
Yes. So, how to trust life, I'm going to be guided by what life tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
How do I interpret, basically, life guidance?
Uh-huh. Yeah, how do you know whether it's life guiding you or those voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate? Because they can learn to mimic anything, can't they? They
yes.
learn the language of practice, and then they talk to you. That's what I started out talking about with the whole what's spiritual and what isn't spiritual and money and spirituality and all that. The reason that people get snookered by that is that conditioning uses the language of practice, right? And
yes.
so it seems like we're getting really good information, but we're not getting good information. Now, here's the really good news. You can't make a mistake. That's number one. And number two, now this is my opinion, and not everybody would agree, but what we're doing, what we have the opportunity to do in this life is find out exactly the question, the answer to the question that you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
What's guiding me? Is it life, my heart, authentic nature, or is it ego and conditioning? Which is it? So every moment of life
is an opportunity to get information about that. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So you're going to do something, and you look to see, should I this or that? Because I could go there or not go there. Go there or go to that other place. Okay, so which is the thing? And you look inside, and you see what arises, and then you watch what happens. Okay? And as you go along, you'll get more and more confident about a couple of things. One, life, the wisdom that animates us, is never urgent. It's never demanding. It's never judgmental. It's never harsh. It never chastises us. Okay? The voices of ego are all of those things. Okay? So you need to decide now. Well, what's going to happen if you don't? Well, you better if you don't. Okay? Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, the difference between those two can seem difficult to ascertain. But the more you pay attention, the more you watch, and the more you feel what it feels like when this is there and when that's there, the more subtle will become your ability to determine when you're being guided by life and when there's an attempted takeover by ego.
I mean, that very good guideline. What just came in was the second guessing, you know. I just finished a retreat. It was very, very useful for me to realize how much second guessing often undermines, first of all, sucks out a lot of energy. And
yes.
Also, you know, it just doesn't help, basically.
No.
So
no.
Sometimes,
so.
Sorry, go ahead.
So let's just make a little rule. Mm. No second guessing.
And what's the difference between second guessing and urgency? You know,
well, that's just
it.
Second guessing is always going to come from ego, and it's very likely to be urgent. Because life doesn't second guess. So, for instance, you decide that you're going to do X, okay, whatever that is. It drops in.
I can actually have a specific example, which maybe is very
okay.
Mundane,
good. Yeah, good.
For example, my hair are very, very dry and knotty all the time. So a few months ago, I walked by a shop and I thought, well, I should actually try to use this oil for my hair. I actually happened to try a sample somewhere else, and I thought, it might work. So today I happened for the second time to go by this other shop. I saw the oil, and I thought, okay, I don't want to second guess and keep thinking and thinking about buying or not this oil. I went in, I asked, I gathered some more information, and I thought, yes, probably this is what I need. So I bought it. But it was actually more expensive than I normally would spend money for. And I thought, well, I said, I don't want to keep second-guessing because I know I need this. I mean, my hair are really very dry. I need it. And so I bought it. But then after, I was like, maybe I should have looked more and more. And
nope.
I
know the answer to this one.
Okay.
I know the answer. Okay. Because when it first dropped in for you that this was the thing that would help your hair, that was the moment to get it.
Okay.
Everything after that is conditioned mind, as they say, jerking you around. Well, what about this and what about that? And it's so much money and maybe you should look more and blah, 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 blah. That's not an in-the-moment conversation. It may feel like it's happening in the moment, but it's not. Yeah? And so here's the hard one. Here's the one where so many people bail out on themselves. So you get this expensive oil, and it doesn't work. And the voices go nuts.
Crazy, yeah.
Right? Well, you should have known, and blah, 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 blah. And what you do is you follow your rule of no second guessing, which includes no reviews, no postmortem. That's what I did. That's what I followed. It didn't work. The whole point of awareness practice is compassion.
Yeah.
So you're having compassion for the person who is practicing, right?
Yeah.
And you just keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because
now here's the thing. Here's the thing you've got to be prepared for, and everybody who's listening, you've got to be prepared.
Yeah.
It's going to escalate. Mm. When you start doing this, it's going to start screaming louder because that's the way it controls people. Mm. Okay, when it starts screaming loud enough, people just go, okay, I won't do it anymore.
Mm.
And what we need to learn to do is to know when those voices are screaming, we're going in the right direction.
Mm, okay. Good.
All right.
Because they try. But, okay, good. Thank you so much. And, of course, I just went to the retreat with you, and it was great, like always. And thank you so much, really, to everyone.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it? We had fun.
Yes, a lot of fun.
All right.
Thanks again.
Good night.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Stefania. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to take a break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, I have some new information about that retreat we were talking about.
Oh, okay. Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at Vallambrosa Center in Menlo Park in July.
Oh, very good, very good. Not that the monastery isn't gorgeous in July. It is. It most assuredly
yeah.
is. However, it'll be fun to be at Vallambrosa.
Great, great.
Yeah, thank you for that, Michael.
Yes, teamwork is great.
It is, isn't it?
It is. Without it, we'd be sunk.
We would be in deep trouble.
And I have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Well, hello, Patty. Hi. How are you?
Hey. Good. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Well, it's perfect timing because I wanted to talk about money, and you started off talking about money. So, I'm sure you'll have a lot of great guidance. So basically, I've just been looking at anxiety over money, and I was talking about it with my coach, and she suggested taking a look at the illusion of control in relation to money. And so mm-hmm. I've been looking at that and just starting to see a lot about that. A lot about kind of beliefs and assumptions mm-hmm. about money that have allowed me to kind of keep going along with this illusion of control.
Uh-huh. Can you give an example, just so I'm sure I'm up with you?
Well, just that, you know, like I've been basically financially independent most of my adult life, and I've never really been, you know, in dire financial straits or really needed to depend on anyone else for money. And there's a certain amount of, like, a feeling of control that comes with that.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, looking at possibly in the future having to be dependent on a spouse for financial support, it's suddenly like really, really scary and bringing up a lot of anxiety.
Uh-huh. And is there something happening that is causing you to consider this, or is it just coming up for you to consider? Because what I went to immediately was, in my parents' situation, it looked like she was going to depend on him for financial security, and then something happened to him, and he was unable to support the family, and she had to support the family. So sometimes, you know, things can happen that we don't even consider.
Right. Yeah, no, it's more that it's like savings have dwindled. And,
I see.
You know, and I took some big career risks with a, you know, having a sort of financial cushion to fall back on, and that cushion is getting smaller. And
I see.
And so kind of what, you know, the thing that sort of triggered all of this anxiety was, you know, budgeting for this year and seeing like, ooh, okay, cushion is much smaller now, and the voices are just going crazy about, you know, what that means.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. The great financial advisors that they are.
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. Okay, and so the anxiety is growing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And what it sounds like, what your coach was suggesting, is that perhaps that illusion of control that was in place has kept you from making some choices that would have been wise for you to make, or I wonder, the illusion of control sort of combined with magical thinking, which apparently, according to what I've heard, at least most Americans, I don't know about the rest of the world, but most Americans believe that that something is going to happen, you know, and they're going to wind up rich. I mean, not just they're going to be all right, but they're actually going to wind up rich, which is an interesting orientation.
Yeah, I don't believe that one, but but I think that there is a belief that I'll be okay. You know, that
uh-huh.
I won't need to depend on other people and that sort of thing. And
even though the numbers don't add up to that.
Well, maybe not currently, or maybe not in the near future. So far,
uh-huh.
I've been able to.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, the illusion of control, the way that I'm kind of seeing it, is that that I have felt like I was in control this whole time because I was supporting myself financially, and the truth is that like there really is no control. Like I can see that, you know, that
right.
I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, or you know, I mean,
yeah.
any number of things could happen that
yeah.
would totally change my financial situation.
Yes.
But it's like really easy to ignore all of those possibilities and just keep going along, you know, thinking that everything's going to be fine.
Yes, which is a variation on that theme, isn't it? You know, we look around and we see the kinds of things that happen to other people, but somehow that's never going to happen to me. I've always been fine, and so I'll always be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, I don't know, what being lulled into a false sense of security, I suppose. You know, I've always been fine. I'll always be fine. It's okay. I don't really need to address any of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like I'm getting all confused now. But I think that, like, for me, you know, a big thing is that conditioning has been just kind of railing against all of the risks that I've taken, all of the, you know, like, walking away from a high-paying career and things like that, you know, and trying to really get me to just live a really small life where I'm just doing, you know, like a, quote, normal job, putting my time in day
right.
after day, you know. And
trading your time for money.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. And that is obviously really supported by our society, you know, that belief.
Yeah.
You know, that if you just plug along and keep doing that, and then you'll be fine. You'll be taken care of.
Yes, and what you're seeing is the evidence is very strong that that is not the case. People plug along, and all they do is plug along.
Mm-hmm.
And then something unforeseen happens, and they're not even able to plug along, and it doesn't go well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we get to, if I'm following you, is how, well, first of all, of course, we know the answer to one of them, right? Now I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it like it's easy, and I understand it's not. Stop listening to those voices.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, for all of us, that's our first order of business, right?
Yeah.
Because all they're doing is taking advantage of a moment to torture you. That's all that's going on. They don't care that you left that job. They're happy you left that job because now you're in a position really to be tortured, right? If you were mm-hmm. in that job, they'd be torturing you about how much you hate that job, even though it's great pay and all of that, but it's soulless and it's not what you want to do and blah, blah, blah. So
yeah.
We know that piece of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm guessing the question now is, so how do you keep your heart open and continue to make the choices for yourself that cause you to want to live your life and also do everything you can to take care of yourself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowing you don't have control.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that you were just talking about urgency, and it's so clearly the voices that are like, you know, behind all of this anxiety, because it's just so, there's just all this urgency about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not necessarily like urgency about you need to do something about money. It's even you need to do something about this anxiety. You know,
that, by the way, we're causing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this pseudo Zen thing about you know how it's wrong for this anxiety to be here, and I need to get rid of it, you know, somehow.
Yeah. While constantly being told about all of the things that could possibly go wrong. And
right.
And by the way, it is your fault that you're in this situation. And in addition, it's probably hopeless.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if they haven't started on that yet, we can guess they will, because that's kind of standard fare.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just, I don't know, I mean, I'm just trying to be with it all and not have to do something about it, and just watching it and just trying to just see as much as I can about the whole process.
Yes, because what you know is that is a process, and this current what is just simply the current content.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right, so it's kind of perfect, because right now it seems like you have no control over the anxiety, and so that's a really good opportunity to see how anxiety happens, number one, and number two, it's a great opportunity to practice directing the attention so that you are able to see the relationship between when your attention is hijacked by conditioned mind into the past or the future and these conversations that create
mm-hmm.
the anxiety, what happens
mm-hmm.
with that, and then what happens when you keep your attention on this here now, where you're actually living and where there's actually nothing wrong,
mm-hmm.
what's that like? And the net result, of course, could be some really powerful practice.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, you know, what just dropped in as you were saying that is that today the voices were going crazy about some very big expenses that were gonna happen today, you know, like car repairs and medical things, and was trying to like stir up all this fear about it. And mm-hmm. it turned out that none of it happened. None of it was true, first
wow.
of all. And
wow.
then the other thing was that it was saying I was going to go meet a friend and have a cup of tea, and it was saying I couldn't go do that because I shouldn't spend the, you know, $1.75 on an iced tea to sit with my friend. And I was like, wow, it's just, I could see it trying to just strangle me and make my life so small, make my whole world just shrink.
So that you yeah. only have tea at home with it.
Yeah.
That's where it wants you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't fall for it. I went and I had tea with my friend and it was great. We had a great time. And I'm just so glad that I didn't listen to the voices.
Yes, and that you were paying attention enough to realize that they're using all these fear tactics on you and none of it happened. So
right.
what we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that those voices have no idea what's going to happen. None.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
None. We don't, but neither do they. Right? So it's just, okay, well, let's see. And in the meantime, you know, if something dreadful happens, okay, maybe I'll be anxious about that. But I'm not going to be anxious in advance, thank you very much, because I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's where we really want to live, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm doing the best I can. That's all I can tell you. I'm doing the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trusting life. And I'm going to be here with myself. And that's all we've got.
Right, yeah, and just making choices in the moment, you know, that come from life, you know?
Yes.
I mean, that's all I can do.
Yes, yeah, yep. Now, you're going to stay with me through this 2015 business, right?
yes.
Okay, good.
I'm quite interested.
Good, yeah, yeah, you're motivated. Okay, that's very good.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Beth from Denver.
Hi.
Beth from Denver, how are you?
I am so well, and oh my gosh, so excited.
It's great to hear your voice. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, wow, I can really relate to all the topics that have kind of been touched on. The transition from the holidays and also from being sick with the flu into the new year was really rough.
So that's not a good in 1 year the way you want to live the next one. We're going to throw that out the window in your case, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got it out of the way for 2015. So that's
basically the most just a couple amazing things. When I got sick, you know, I practiced the Huber cure as best I could.
Good.
And then
cannot hurt.
Say again.
It can't hurt.
No.
Even if you're not up in 24 hours, it can't hurt to do it.
Exactly. And I even did a recording on how to be sick.
Uh huh. Oh, fun.
Yeah. Which was kind of fun.
What'd you come up with?
Well, it was just that concept of just being with myself, being sick, like. My body hurts and, you know, my head is pounding and okay, you know, and I'm laying here and just kind of this is what it feels like to be sick.
Yeah. So how do you be with that person in absolute unconditional love and compassion, 100% present, just right there together?
Right. Exactly. Did a lot of listening. Listening was really good. But found that after the sickness was over that my practice totally went downhill. And I'm not even sure why, but about a week later, I picked up the recorder and I just said, this is what I, you know, this is what the human needs. This is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And I started recording, and it just popped me back. It was like measurable. It was like later in the day I went, right. This is how I want to live life. You know, this is the place that I want to be here now.
Uh-huh.
So for that period of time, it's like you got sick, so it was like Jenny, right? There's that transition from being sick back into regular life, and boom, it just snatches you and throws you down a well. and you don't even know you're there, right, until it kind of come to however many days later, and, what was that about?
Right. And the beauty was no lamenting, you know, no, oh, my gosh, you know, that was bad.
Uh-huh.
You know, you lost your practice. Mm-hmm. There was no self-hate, no nothing. And I had it in my head to start the 30-day retreat, Making a Change for Good, on January 1st.
Oh, fun.
And January 1st came and went.
Because you were sick.
Right, and still recovering and all of that, and caught up with holidays and, you know, how I needed to do a million other things. And on January 3rd, I looked over and I saw the book and I went, oh, right. And then I heard the voice come in and it said, don't start it today, start it tomorrow. Have it be on a Monday. Or I saw it on whatever day it was, January
3rd,
was the Sunday. And I said, no. No, I'm starting it right now.
Uh-huh. You know what? I'm surprised you didn't say, oh, well, it's too late now. You didn't start on the 1st. You might as well not do it.
Well, there was that. And it said, well, you didn't start on the 1st, so at least start on a Monday. You know, like it wanted to make it perfect or something like that. It wanted to make it right. And so,
yeah, I wanted to see if it could get you not to do it, is what it was trying to do. Yeah.
And I caught on to that really quickly. I said, no, I'm starting it right now. And I am so lit up. It's all about my project, about what I'm going to do here in Denver this year in 2015.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just, it was like one of the things that I said when I did my little commitment poster on the second day was, I wrote, I want to keep my attention on living life as the adventure that it is.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. We must all take that in, because it is so easy when we give any attention at all to egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, to lose sight of the fact that this is an adventure that we only get to have once.
Exactly, and just my whole project for this year, if I let conditioning tell me that it's going to be risky or that there's going to be a challenge or any, it just zaps all of it away. But if I keep it, my attention on, no, this isn't it. But we have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to try to judge it or label it or compare contrast it before I even start it, which is what I think happened in 2014.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, I remember saying this somewhere recently, and could have been on this radio show, but what you know those moments in your life where something happens and you think, I am forever different as a result of this? And I was talking to this woman who was actually a personal trainer, and I had worked with her, and I ran into her, and I said, oh, I haven't been able to get a hold of you. She said, no, we're moving to Southern California. And I said, oh, really? How come? And she said, because we want to and we can.
That is beautiful.
Isn't that the best?
Because
why are you doing this?
We want to and we can. That's the simplest thing I've ever heard. That's exactly
right. It's perfect. And why are you doing this thing that you're doing in 2015? Because you want to and you can. You know, if we're looking for a green light, that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Right, exactly. And I just want to offer one other thing. On the flip side of that, my other commitment to myself during the 30 days was not only to meditate you know, every morning for 30 minutes in the traditional way, but to do 15 minutes at night three times a week.
Ooh, good for you.
Yeah, and last night I had my 15 minutes available, and then my partner Tim says to me, well, he was going to do something else, so I had more time, and conditioning swooped in and said, okay, sit for 30 minutes, you know, to push it, you know, to kind of add on and think that I was doing better because I was doing more. And I was so proud of myself for saying, no, we're going to stay of 15 minutes. And so it's like that, I don't know, it's like that dual-edged sword in a sense of, on the one hand, you know, conditioning wants to talk you out of doing anything. And then on the other side, if you agree to do it, then conditioning wants you to do it
more, 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 until it's oppressive and you don't want to do it at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so it goes back to a little bit of the very first discussion, learning to trust life and learning to trust myself.
Yeah.
It's keeping that commitment too. It's not just keeping the commitment of doing it, but it's the keeping the commitment of limiting it to what's appropriate at this point for my practice.
Yes, and that you are a person that can be trusted.
Yes, yes, that's exactly
everything.
It. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said I would this, and that's what I'm going to do.
And that's exactly what I've been working with since I left the monastery in October. So it's just, it's, gosh, so great. I'm so glad I got on.
Uh-huh, me too. And I'm hoping that even though it's, what, the 6th of January, there might be people out there who say, oh, now that sounds like a good idea. What was the name of that book again? Oh, let's see. That was Making a Change for Good. Yeah, the 30-day retreat. Pick anything and go through the process to have exactly the experience that you're having, that you are a person that you can trust with your life.
Exactly, exactly. And starting it on any day. It doesn't have to be a certain day.
Every day is a perfect day to make that kind of commitment and start that kind of practice.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Beth. Great
thank
talking with
you. Thank you so much. Bye, Michael.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we are nearly at the top of the hour here.
All right. Well, then shall we say adieu and meet
adieu
again next week?
That sounds fabulous.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Talk to you then.
All right. Good night.
Good night.